Inside Lacrosse Podcast.
Welcome to the Inside Lacrosse Division 3 Podcast. I'm Zach Babo. While the usual suspects are enjoying success in the Division 3 world, a handful of upstarts have crashed the party, scoring big upsets and working their way into the top 20. One program that has garnered such attention this spring is Montclair State, whose 8-1 record vaulted them to number 12 in the USILA coaches poll. The Redhawks have enjoyed success for several seasons, consistently fighting for the Skyline Conference crown and NCAA appearance, but this season Montclair State captured the first signature win of young coach Chris Kivlin's 3-year tenure, defeating Dickinson 14-11. I talked to Kivlin about his squad's early season success, what he's building at the program, the similarities between Montclair State and his alma mater, Albany, and where to get a bite to eat in the delicious landscape of northeastern New Jersey. As always, go to InsideLacrosse.com to find Ken Stockman's weekly D3 notebooks, as well as all the scores and stats from the Division 3 world on our new mobile-friendly scoreboard. Follow me on Twitter, at Zach Babo, that's at ZACHBABO, no spaces, and at Inside Lacrosse, at Inside _ Lacrosse, for updates about the podcast and other D3 coverage. Now here's my conversation with Montclair State head coach Chris Kivlin. All right, the Inside Lacrosse Division 3 podcast is happy to have us joined here by Montclair State coach Chris Kivlin. Montclair State is kind of off to a great start here. They sit at about 10 in the polls, and they've pulled a couple of upset wins along the way, and they're off to probably the front run in the Skyline Conference. Coach, can you tell me a little bit just what this year's been like for you guys with kind of, you know, hitting the ground running so hard and getting off to a successful start?
Yeah, just it's been a great start. You know, we got a couple of key wins. You know, opened up against Muhlenberg, always a tough team out of the Centennial Conference, and then played a really strong RPI team. And I think that was kind of a real hurdle for us to get over that RPI win. That we were down 8-4 going to the fourth quarter, scored 5 goals to win 9-8. So, you know, they've kept it going, and really a key win for us was RPI. And then Dickinson had a great year last year, and always a strong team, well coached, and you know, got a nice win against Dickinson. So just kind of snowballed in the right direction for us early on in the year, and teams really clicked, and it's you know, it's been a great season so far.
You know, when you guys beat Dickinson, I think that probably captured a lot of people's attention. Of, you know, wow, that, you know, I mean, because I think Dickinson, I mean, I personally thought Dickinson was going to be probably a top 5 or so team this year. And, you know, when you get a win like that, do you kind of, you don't want to overvalue it, but I mean, do you kind of get a feeling of, you know, kind of where your team is after a win like that? Or does it surprise you at all or anything? Or do you kind of know that after a win like that, you're going to get a little more buzz about you?
Yeah, I mean, it's a signature win. You know, you know, they had a handful of All-Americans last year. They had a great year. Always, you know, again, just they're one of those top teams in Division III. So, you know, what we talked about in the locker room after the win was like, this is just a special day for all of us at Montclair State Lacrosse, and you know that you kind of always remember. You know, it was certainly a milestone for us. You know, beating a top 10 team, and you know, I'm not sure how much we looked at the future right there after the win, but we just kind of savored the moment together.
You know, this is only your second year as head coach.
Third year as head coach.
But still, I mean, you know, to have this kind of success in year three. Well, while you guys obviously had good years the years prior, and you routinely had a couple of NCAA appearances. But I mean, to be ranked early in the year, to get that kind of milestone, you know, signature win early in the year. What does that kind of say maybe about the trajectory of what you feel like you're building here in just year three?
Yeah, I think it validates everybody's hard work. You know, we push the guys in practice, you know, we hold them to a high standard, and it's nice to see it, just see everything come together here. And I think that's what myself and the staff, we've been talking about for 3 years now. It's just keep on working and keep on going, you know, we'll get some wins against, you know, I guess some of those traditionally, you know, great teams in Division III, and it's just come together for us. So it's nice to see. You know, we've really pushed these guys, took our lumps, you know, first 2 years against Dickinson, or maybe, you know, unfortunately we get the Stevens win, but it's been closer, you know, with those guys, but we've kind of come over a little bit of a hurdle here. Excuse me.
Coach, can you kind of describe maybe what you think your team is doing particularly well this year? I mean, looking at stats alone, one of the things that jumps out is you guys are scoring at a healthy clip. I think it's about 14.67 goals a game or so, which, you know, I mean, that's up there in D3 generally, and it shows a pretty effective offensive unit. I mean, maybe start from that end and just talk about what seems to be the strength of this team and what they really kind of excel at.
Yeah, I think our strength is our transition game. You know, we really pride ourselves on playing fast and playing an up-tempo style of lacrosse. And, you know, those are things that we practice every day. We kind of have like a mindset part of practice, and those are all transition-type drills. And I think that that's where a lot of those goals are scored, in fast breaks or unsettled, or kind of, we call them scramble situations, where pick it up and move it and push it. And, you know, I think all of our guys have the confidence to go to the goal, whether you're a defender or a long-stick midi or a defensive midfielder. You know, once we get the ball in somebody's stick, we're on offense and we're pushing it. And, you know, again, I think as the staff, we give the guys the confidence, no matter who you are, to handle the ball and push it. So I think that's where our success has come from on the offensive side, is really pushing the ball up and down the field.
Yo, on that offensive side, I mean, you guys have a handful of scores that have kind of jumped out, and a lot of box scores. I mean, can you talk a little bit about guys like Brett Mangan and sure. Sam Morrissey and Zach and Michael Schreck that's kind of be leading the team?
Yeah, those guys make us look good as coaches. I mean, Sam Morrissey just always finds a way to score. He puts it behind his back or between his legs, or just is a real creative offensive player. He's got tremendous, tremendous skills. So just try to get him the ball in good spots, and he finishes it. But just an outstanding shooter and highly skilled player. So Sam's that kind of guy that can make that highlight reel type play. Brett's got some good range, good shooter, and can finish the ball on breaks, and he's a good man-up player. So he's kind of your traditional, little more of a time and room guy, but can get around guys and go to the goal. And then, you know, at the first midfield, it's Michael and Zach, and then Connor Cunningham, too, plays with those guys on the first midfield line. And obviously having two brothers up there, they've been playing sports together their whole life, so they have that kind of innate sense of where each other are, and Connor fits that, fits in with those guys real well. So, you know, I think, but as a whole, you know, I think they just have a good idea of where each other are, and they. I don't think anybody's been greedy. We've been sharing the ball real well, and just finding the open man.
You talk about an emphasis of transition. Is that one of those things that translates down to the defensive end then, that typically teams that kind of thrive in transition have poles that can handle the ball really well, are really good off the ground, and tend to take a couple more chances maybe? I mean, do you guys try and push for turnovers and the like, and you know, maybe take a couple more gambles on defense to see how it pans out?
I think we pressure the ball pretty well, and that's a testament to how athletic those guys are down in that end. We try to get on hands and force turnovers, but, you know, it really comes from like a save. Michael Dorn's really improved his skills, and credit to him for working so hard to do that. And, you know, he gets the ball up and out quick off a save, and we push it. And, you know, again, I think kind of our identity, the identity of our team is transition, but I do think we can have ground balls well, and we play we pride ourselves, again, on playing a little bit tougher style of getting into people and getting those ground balls and getting them up and out. So it's kind of a collection of all those things.
Does any of that tougher style, I mean, does that speak to the recruits or the attitude you want in the program? I mean, Montclair State kind of being a team that's still working its way into more of a national-type notoriety, you know, do you look for guys with more of a chip on their shoulder or anything?
I was having a conversation with Mike Athens the other day just about, he was here before I got here, and just talking about the recruiting process and just the way recruiting goes. Sometimes people pass on you, and he ends up at Montclair, and he's had a tremendous, tremendous career. But I think when you go up against somebody that maybe passed on you, play on a chip on, chip on your shoulder. But I also think just the style of kids that we get across the board here at Montclair, state school guys and, a little bit more of a blue collar attitude, and feel like the staff brings that to the table as well. And, we just kind of get after it every day. We have fun. And I mean, if you came to practice, guys are calling each other out and they're scrapping on all the drills, and it's a high intensity. It's kind of a tougher team to be on that way, because these guys are getting after it all the time. So but I think that certainly led to some of our success here.
Now, this might be a bit loaded in that aspect, but I mean, does any of that kind of maybe speak geographically to you guys? I mean, you're a Jersey school. You have a lot of Jersey guys on the team. You know, Jersey's kind of one of those areas, particularly state school in Jersey. It tends to be a lot of guys that maybe feel they were overlooked in one spot or another, and, they kind of carry a little bit more of that upfrontness or chip on the shoulder kind of attitude anyway.
Yeah, could be. I don't know how much of it's geography, but sure, whatever it is, it's working for us. These guys come in, they're tough. I think it has a lot to do with their families and their backgrounds, and that everybody's just working hard here to get better. So it's again, that blue collar identity is what we pride ourselves on.
To that end, with kind of recruiting and being in New Jersey, I mean, have you tried to, or does it feel like, to be successful at a program at a state school, particularly, you need to really kind of learn the lay of the land in New Jersey and recruit well in New Jersey? And have you seen the level of recruits that you're able to get better as the state of New Jersey kind of grows more and more as a recruiting hotbed and you know, you see more kids kind of leaving Jersey to go to other programs, or maybe as the inverse is as other coaches come to Jersey to steal talent, is it harder for you to snag a guy yourself to keep him around?
To answer your question fully there, you know, for myself, it was a little tough to break in because, you know, I grew up in Long Island and then coached Albany for a while. So I thought I knew New York State pretty well, you know, and then coming down to Jersey, didn't have a huge network of coaches that I could deal with for recruits. But, you know, it's Montclair State's funny like that. Guys, there's a lot of guys that came through the program here that got into coaching at the high school level that were willing to reach out and push guys in my direction. And then, you know, just along the way, the high school coaches in Jersey have been tremendous. Kind of talking to me and kind of identifying what we look for in a player, and there's been some great matches here. So, you know, thanks to those guys for kind of helping us out along the way and sending us guys that have been a good fit. So, you know, I think that network of high school coaches in the area of trying to keep guys that they think could be a state school kid, you know, pushing them maybe in this direction has been tremendous.
You mentioned how you're from Long Island. You played ball upstate. Do you see a similarity or differences kind of amongst those different kind of geographic areas in terms of the type of players you seem to kind of find and recruit out of those areas?
No, I think so. I don't think so. I think it's pretty similar, actually. You know, I think Jersey's certainly getting better. Yeah, I think there's tremendous athletes here, but what you're seeing is the skill level really increased. Well, I think the skill level's increasing everywhere in the country for lacrosse. So you can go to different parts of the country and find that's highly skilled athlete playing lacrosse now.
You know, I mentioned before you guys obviously are gaining some more notice this year with the great start, but you've been a good program for the past couple of years, routinely in contention for the Skyline, if not winning the Skyline. Can you tell me a little bit about, you know, what that conference has been like for you and where you kind of see Montclair within that Skyline race?
Yeah, fortunately enough for us, we've ended up in the championship game the last couple of years, but and won it against the NCAA, so... You know, but I think the conference as a whole is getting better. You know, and Richard Stockton comes in; they're playing great. They have two losses. You know, they're 9-2. A team like Kane down the road here has only got I think one loss in the season. They might be 10-1, and then you know the rest of the couple teams are playing well. You know, Farmingdale's a team that gets those Long Island guys. They always play good, you know, the last couple teams are improving. So some good young coaches in the conference, and those guys are going out and getting recruits. So I think that. You know, the bright days for the Skyline Conference are just ahead of us here.
One of the particularly kind of interesting rivalries that seems to be built in that Skyline Conference is the one between you and Keene. I mean, you and Keene play once in the regular season. It seems like in the Skyline tournament, you'll run into each other again.
Yeah.
And typically in that championship game, the geographic proximity of the two schools being so close to each other kind of maybe adds a little bit more juice to it. You're both state schools, so you're probably both kind of poaching some of the same town you know, maybe going after the same guys. I mean, what's that kind of rivalry or relationship been like growing there?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, I think it's great for the Skyline Conference. I think it's great for the area, you know, that you have two teams that are playing well and, you know, meet a couple times a year and playing a close game. So, you know, I think it's great for the area and it's great for the conference, and, you know, rivalries are something that people get excited about. So it's, I know it's a game that gets both teams circle on the schedule.
You know, you guys are familiar with the NCAA tournament from winning that Skyline and getting in.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a certain attitude, though, of, you know, after you make it so many times, you need to get to certain levels to kind of feel like you're making a turn in the program, that, you know, it's about getting in, then it's about getting a first-round win, then it's about, you know, reaching the quarters or something like that?
Yeah, I think it's similar to what we're talking about in the beginning of the season, the start that we were, you know, that we got off to. It's like, you know, okay, 2 years, my first 2 years, maybe we were, you know, 11 wins or 13 wins, but we didn't really have a signature win. Well, this year we got them. You know, so maybe that's one goal that we set for ourselves that we accomplished. And then, you know, certainly is getting through the conference and getting a, you know, an NCAA game. But, you know, getting there and kind of getting bumped out in the first round has been tough the last couple of years. So, you know, one of our goals certainly is getting there. You can't look past that of winning the conference and getting in. But then we'd love to win a game in advance and see if we can't make some noise in the tournament.
You know, looking at those kind of local rivalries, another interesting non-conference rivalry you've built is the games against Stevens,
yeah.
where you guys play them, it seems like, every year now.
Yeah.
And you've run into them. Last year you used to play them in the regular season, and you ran into them in the playoffs. I mean,
sure.
What's that rivalry like?
Well, I'm not sure there's a program we respect more over here at Montclair State than Stevens Tech. You know, they just do things the right way, and they're well coached, and you know, just haven't been able to get over that one. You know, they come in and I think they were 1-5, just had a tough start, but they were playing all great teams. You know, they lost to, I think all five teams were inside the top 12 at one point. So they ran into tough teams and just ended up a goal or two short in their games, but came out and played well against us and got a win. And unfortunately, we couldn't get that one. But credit to those guys for playing well. And yeah, I guess it's a rivalry. We'd like to win one to make it more of a rivalry, but just haven't been able to get over that hurdle yet.
I say that sounds like, I guess, kind of like one of those benchmark games on the schedule that you want to play this other local team that's had a lot
sure.
of success, and mm-hmm. as your guys get more and more used to playing them, maybe get a win or two over the years. You know, you kind of use that to not necessarily judge your own advancement, but just to get a feel for how you're growing as a program.
Sure, there's no doubt. All those things. You know, you only measure yourself by your wins and losses and what you're doing, and we felt like we were playing pretty well, and just couldn't get that one that night. It was their night. So, yeah, I certainly think we look forward to that one. Certainly one I look forward to. And we'll just keep on working harder so we get it next year. You know, and see what happens.
So, Coach, we've talked about this is your third year at the program. I guess let's get into a little bit of that. You're from Long Island. You played your college ball up at Albany. How'd you end up at Montclair? Maybe what about Montclair seemed appealing to you to make the transition to it?
Yeah, I think that when you look at Montclair State Athletics, it's just that they've had a great tradition here. You know, we've won three national championships in baseball. You know, softball's been in the Final Four. Women's soccer was ranked number one in the country this year. Men's soccer's been to a Final Four. The field hockey team's been to a national championship. Women's basketball's been to two Elite Eights. So Montclair State Athletics as a whole has really been successful, you know. And I think we're a team, and I was looking, looking at the job and things like that, man, men's lacrosse could be the next one. You know, I think that there was a successful program, certainly a great tradition. The guys here had it going in the right direction, but the potential of the program was through the roof. So hopefully we're fulfilling some of that potential here.
From playing and then coaching for a stint at Albany, I mean, mm-hmm. it sounds like there's some similarities between maybe what you were involved with at Albany and what you're bringing to Montclair mm-hmm. in terms of the transition-heavy kind of success and things like that. What are maybe some lessons you take or some stylistic things you took from your playing and coaching days at Albany to now to Montclair?
Well, I mean, there's no doubt. I just felt like I had a tremendous experience as a player at Albany, and then working under Scotty Moore for 6 years and being his assistant coach was just a great experience. I mean, you know, for him to be my mentor and kind of take me through the coaching ranks there and for 6 years to kind of show me the ins and outs of this business was just tremendous. So, you know, I came down to Montclair and got my head job and had a chance to put my stamp on the program, and I just I asked him a ton of questions, but he led me in the right direction, and I just tried to kind of mimic as much as what he did up there and put my own twist on it, and it's worked out so far. So sure, that's definitely where the transition stuff comes from, and our style of play, and a lot of what we do here is brought down for me from my days at Albany.
You know, a lot of young coaches, they look back at guys that have been involved in their playing career, you know, to kind of help learn maybe some of what the model of what being good coach is. I mean, looking at guys like Scott Maher, maybe even guys dipping back into your high school career, I mean, are there certain kind of things, not even necessarily strategically as much as kind of intangibly, that you take away from guys like Scott and the like mm-hmm. that, you know, you realize are good traits to have as a coach?
Yeah, I think going back my high school days, I had a great experience in high school in Long Island, and those guys were tough, and they really held you to a high standard, and I think I brought that along the way with me. And then, you know, I think learning from Coach Maher is, you take care of people first, and you worry about the X's and O's and everything after that. But just the, you know, from a player, he's a player's coach. You know, he knew that wins or loss or whatever it was, you know, he cared about you more than anything. So, I hope my players feel that for me. And I think that's when you get the respect as a coach is when that they when they know that you really care about them and it's a family and all those things. So people talk about it. I don't know how many guys really do it, but he's certainly one of the good ones that that really brings that family atmosphere to the program. So try my best to do it here, and hopefully we're on our way.
Obviously, one of the ways Albany kind of jumped into the headlines in the past few seasons was the landing the Thompson brothers, yeah. and then kind of just the way they flourished in the Division I scene. I mean, being an assistant coach, you know, not that long ago at Albany, were you kind of involved in that recruiting process of getting those guys into Albany?
Yeah, a little bit. You know, I think it was a process. it was great getting to know those guys, and obviously being a part of that, and probably being a smaller part of that it was just tremendous. You know, it was great. You know, those guys are there because of you know, Coach Marr and the style, and you know, obviously the program that those guys have there. But getting to know those three and watch them play is just been incredible. So, you know, my guys, it's funny, my guys get excited down here. You know, they know if Albany wins, we're going to, you know, I'll have a smile on my face, and they think they'll have a lighter practice or something like that, or they're always bringing up what Lyle's doing, or Miles, or Ty, you know, any of those guys. So they try to, like, you know, they try to chime in during stretching or things like that to see if I'll take it easy on that day. So it's pretty funny. You know, we certainly follow that program pretty closely.
Yeah, so when you make the transition from a Division I program to a Division III, I mean, yep. Obviously, you know, you can't necessarily compare levels right off the bat, but yep. Were there certain kind of things you had to adjust to, or lessons you learned fairly quickly about just familiarities with certain things from Division I to Division III?
I had no idea what I was getting into. You know, I didn't know what the excitement level was going to be. I think I get excited about what I do, you know, and I'm really into the games and practice and all those things. And I guess I was a little wary of guys not taking it maybe as seriously as I would have liked to, but pleasantly surprised when I got here. These guys were ready to work when I got to Montclair State. They were into it. They were excited about somebody challenging them and pushing them and really trying to get this thing to the next level. So, you know, I was pleasantly surprised. And so I guess that was the one question mark that I had, was how are these guys going to take to me being so into this thing and really wanting to push them and do all those things. But they were into it, and they've jumped on board, and man, these guys have just been great. So just credit to them.
What's the Montclair State community like, you know, with this team? I mean, in terms of university support and kind of where you guys feel like you sit within the athletic department.
Yeah.
And then beyond that, you know, how the larger community receives you in terms of, you know, students and fans coming out to games and alumni support and those kind of things.
Yeah, what I think is great about, you know, coming to work here every day is just the department in a whole is really close, you know, and you see that stem into the teams and the players. You know, we were in attendance for all the women's basketball games this year. They come to our games. Great relationship with those guys and those coaches. But same thing, all you know, all the sports kind of gravitate around each other. It's a close, really close community, and I think that's part of why all the teams are successful here is that closeness. So it's nice to see that our guys go to other games and other players from other teams come to our games and support. And, you know, walking around the hallways here, I'm saying hello to all the players, and they know me. And it's just, I think that closeness, you know, kind of breeds success all around. So it's been great. And then the administration and people around the community of campus and things like that, they're tremendous. You know, I mean, you're talking about a tough winter, and there's a lot going on around here as far as, you know, traffic and, you know, clearing the roads and the snow. But our field was cleared. You know, they did a great job. And that means that people up on campus care about what we're doing down here, and couldn't thank them enough. You know, we got off to a great start because maybe we were, I don't know, out on a clear field more than somebody else was. So it was just tremendous. So it's certainly nice that people are looking out for us here. Been well received and couldn't ask for anything more.
You know, we talked about the Dickinson win is kind of that signature win, and this just generally the success you've had early this season. Are there any little moments that have stood out, maybe off the field particularly, that have given you hints about this team in terms of character, how good they can be, or the like? You know, moments in practice or in the preseason where you or even in between games where you just kind of got a sense of what this team was, and you really got to sit back and enjoy.
Yeah. You know, it's funny, you look at talking about some of the weather and things like that. You know, maybe it was a snowy day in the early part of the season. Boy, I was just running these guys really hard in the gym that day, and nobody blinked. You know, we were doing it we were in there 2 hours in the gym, and we were busting our butts. And the weight, you know, we had a weight room session that day too, and just kind of really, really pushed them. But they responded well. They wanted more, and those guys were ready for it. Maybe that was one of the days that stood out to me, man. I was running them and getting on them, and they just started kind of cheering and getting together. So it was a fun turning point for us that day. That I knew I could really push the team to the next level, and they responded, and it's resulted in some nice wins. So that's kind of one of those days that stands out. And then, you know, just being around these guys every day, nobody's sulking trying to go out to practice, or nobody's got their head down. These guys are positive. They're into it. They're just ready for the next challenge. So just being around these guys every day is it's just a great experience.
And this is something I kind of did at times last year with these podcasts. But, in talking to a young coach at a young program, I mean, the two sides of the coin of kind of recruiting is, you know, who would be the – what kind of players are you hoping to bring into a state like to a school like Montclair State? I mean, what would kind of make up the ideal type recruit that you'd like to bring into your program?
Yeah, I think that I think that commitment level is probably number one. You know, like when I talk to high school coaches, I want full-time athletes. So Division III, the fall is tough. You know, we only get 16 practices with these guys. And then most of October, November, December, you know, they're on their own. So we need guys that are committed to, you know, doing things on their own. Maybe if it's going out and, you know, shooting with a buddy or going out and running and pushing themselves to get in better shape or getting in the weight room. You know, we need guys that are willing to do the extra in, you know, late October, November, December when the coaching staff can't be on them. And then, you know, guys that are just, I think we can use that word tough. It's just mentally and physically tough. That's who we're looking for. So, and we've gotten it, and it's been great. It's been absolutely tremendous.
And then the flip side of that coin is, you know, I mean, what's the big sell for Montclair State to get guys to come to you? You know, beyond the success you guys have been growing into as a program, you mentioned what sounds like a fun style of play. I mean, I can imagine that the state school aspect and the proximity of where Montclair sits in terms of a fairly, you know, diverse area in New Jersey and you know, what, 20-minute train ride or so into New York City?
Yeah, you can see the skyline from campus. Yeah,
yeah,
pretty neat.
You know,
it's built up on a hill so you can see
how do you pitch that to the guys?
Yeah, you know, I think when you're bringing people in, you're selling school, and the academics are strong, and the admissions you know, criteria has increased, so, you know, it's been more competitive, but I think that's, you know, you're looking for people that are competitive academically. So that's been great. You know, state school costs are low, and they've done a great job on campus to really build us as a community. You know, probably had a reputation of being more of a commuter school for a long time, but just put up 3 brand new dorms. We have 5,000 beds on campus, so, you know, everybody's around on the weekends. It's you know, it's really a fun place to go to school, and beautiful campus, beautiful area. Again, the proximity to the city is nice, but, you know, as we're going through the process with people, we sell all those things, certainly sell the academics and what we can do for you on that side of it. But, again, we lacrosse-wise, we you know, we talk about being part of an experience, and hopefully these guys, you know, are Montclair State lacrosse players for the rest of their life, and they take that identity with them, and they take these relationships with them, and those are the things we talk about, kind of building that atmosphere for these guys. I mean, we just had a celebration of the 89 undefeated team here at Montclair last Saturday. And those guys, it was fun to watch those guys come back and joke around with each other and just see the joy they had in the program and the pride they had in the program. So hopefully my guys experience that in 25 years.
And I guess, you know, kind of speaking of joking, Coach, I guess we'll kind of wrap up with So I was joking with you before we kind of started the official interview here about how I used to live in the Montclair Glen Ridge area, and I used to really like it. A lot of great, just a really interesting area and a lot of great eateries there. So, you know, on days where you guys need to put together a team meal, or maybe if you're in the office late going over food and just need to grab a bite, you know, what are some of your favorite places to grab
some
food?
Yeah, I got my own stool down at Six Brothers Diner. I'm getting, you know, I'll probably be there in a couple minutes, get my pregame meal. And then the guys over at Nauta's, they treat us right. So, you know, I'm a twice-a-week pizza guy in there, unfortunately, right now. And, you know, anytime we need trays of pasta or chicken parm or anything like that, we go to Nauta's and those guys hook us up. So it's pretty great. Those are my two spots. You know those guys? You know those spots at all?
Actually, no. They don't ring a bell. I used to, when I used to live there, I used to eat at Mr. Dino's Pizza a lot. That was right over by the Watchung Avenue.
Oh, yeah. My guys live right over there.
Yeah, as I said, they used to be my typical stop on my way home from work. So
I think I was in decent shape. Now I look like the guy who ate Chris Gillen, unfortunately. But, you know, North Jersey will do that to you, I guess.
Yeah, a lot of good, heavy food to enjoy.
There's no doubt about it. So.
All right, well, Coach, best of luck tonight against Stockton, and thanks a lot for giving me some time today.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Zach.
Take care.